A major theme in the letter to the Hebrews is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 17, the writer talked about that his humanity prepared him to be a merciful and faithful high priest. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he said that he is the high priest of our confession, and that he is the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, chapter 4 and verse 14. In verse 15 of chapter 4, he says that he is a sympathetic high priest, for he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then in chapter 5, verses 5 through 6, talked about his calling as high priest came from God himself. He is a unique priesthood, however, but it is not according to the Levitical priesthood. He is not a priest in the order of Aaron, a priesthood that began with the giving of the law through Moses at Mount Sinai. His priesthood, as we noticed in chapter 5, is according to the order of Melchizedek. That goes back to Genesis 14, verses 14 through 20, where we're told that Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High who met Abraham. Psalm 110 and verse 4 says that God swore that the Messiah would be a priest like Melchizedek. And last week in our study, we saw that Melchizedek was superior in that he received tithes from Abraham. That's what we noticed in chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. And also we noticed that he blessed Abraham. And we were told in chapter 7 last week, verses 9 through 10, that even Levi and the loins of his ancestor Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. All of this is proving that the priesthood of Christ, which is after the order of Melchizedek, is superior to the Levitical priesthood. That Jesus would come to serve as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek is not without some significance and major implications regarding the efficacy of the Levitical priesthood, regarding the law of Moses itself. Now, some of the significance and implications of Christ's priesthood is described for us in our text today, chapter 7 of Hebrews, verses 11 through 19. So as we consider the significance of the priesthood of Christ, we need to notice that verse 11 says that the priesthood of the Levitical, of the Levites, was lacking. It did not bring about perfection. Otherwise, there would not have been a need for another priest to arise like Melchizedek. And that one was foretold of, as we mentioned a moment ago, in Psalm 110 and verse 4. And he has come and proves the order of Aaron was lacking. Excuse me. And the meaning of perfection here, perfection means completeness. And in this context, it speaks of men, of making men acceptable to God, according to the Believer's Study Bible. Now, the old law with its priesthood could never fully reconcile man back to God. In Hebrews 10 and verse 1, we'll see that animal sacrifices could not make one perfect. In chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, we'll see that they could not cleanse the sinner of the sinner's conscience. And then in verse 4 of chapter 10, we'll see that they could not take away sin, that is, the animal sacrifice. So Jesus coming as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek implies that the Levitical priesthood, while having served the purpose for which it was intended, to foreshadow the sacrifice of Christ, was not able to provide man what he really needed. And that the priesthood of Christ also signifies, as we notice in verses 12 through 18, that the old law has been annulled. A change in the priesthood signifies a change in the law. We cannot live under the old law if we are going to serve Christ. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, not Levi. Therefore, he is not a Levitical priest. We see that in chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, as well as in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1. Moses had not authorized anyone from Judah or any other tribe to serve as priest. So really, God specifically forbid anyone other than a descendant of Aaron to serve in that role until Christ came. We see that in Numbers 16 and verse 40. So for Christ to serve as priest, then a change must have occurred. And that's what we see in our text in chapter 7 and verse 14. Especially for one who serves according to the power of an endless life, verses 15 through 17. You see, the Levitical priests were just mortal men whose service ended at their death. But Jesus is a priest forever. His priesthood is therefore unchangeable, according to verse 24. So with the change in priesthood, the law is now annulled. Lightfoot says annulled here means to declare as void, to invalidate, to abrogate. In verses 18 and 19 of our text tells us that the former commandment, that is, as the law is called, has therefore been set aside because it was weak and it was unprofitable in the sense of making us perfect or acceptable to God, Hebrews 10 and verse 1. That the law has been done away with now should not surprise us, because God foretold that this would happen, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. And Jesus implied that the law would be done away with once it was fulfilled, Matthew 5. He talked about one jot or tittle would not pass away from the law until it was fulfilled. If the priesthood has changed, then it must have been fulfilled and done away with. And Paul described how Jesus abolished it in his death on the cross. He addressed it to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16, as well as to the Colossians in chapter 2 and verses 14 through 16. Now, this significance of Christ's priesthood has very powerful implications. With the law having been annulled, it's foolishness to seek justification by the old law, Galatians 5 and verse 4. It also explains why we should not go to the old law today to find our authority for worship, for our work, and for the organization of the church. It's ironic that people understand this, but yet they want instrumental music and they look to the old law for their authority. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 4 that we can't do that. Now, finally, there is that significance of Christ's priesthood which should be most precious to us. He tells us in verse 19 of our text that there is now a better hope. It's through which we can draw near to God. As we've seen earlier, this Levitical priesthood did not offer perfection. Its sacrifices could not make one perfect regarding the consciousness of sins or for sacrifices that were offered year by year, Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 3. And the actual forgiveness of sins, Hebrews 10 and verse 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." So the law, by its own weakness and unprofitableness, made nothing perfect, Hebrews 7 verses 18 and 19. But now we have, through Christ and in Christ, a better hope. And here we find the key word of this letter, this epistle: better. It was first used in comparing Jesus to angels in chapter 1 and verse 4. It's used later in contrasting the new covenant and its promises with the old covenant, Hebrews 7 and Hebrews 8. Our hope in drawing near to God is now better than ever. You see, the superiority of Christ's priesthood is the basis of that hope, because Jesus is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Our hope for drawing near to God is so much better than they had under the old law. Now, as we've seen, Melchizedek is superior to Abraham and to Levi. So his priesthood is therefore superior to the Levitical priesthood. And if the Hebrew writer is telling us that Jesus is in the order after Melchizedek, then it makes his own priesthood superior to that of the old law, to the priesthood of the Levites. And more evidence of this superiority is going to be considered shortly when we get to the next few verses in verses 24 through 28 of chapter 7. But for right now, let's note again how the greatness of Jesus' priesthood should strengthen our hope in drawing near to God. We go back to chapter 4 and verse 14, and the Hebrew writer tells us that our high priest, that is Christ, has passed through the heavens. And he says in verse 15 of chapter 4 that our high priest can sympathize with our weaknesses. Our high priest makes it possible, that is Christ, makes it possible to come boldly to the throne of grace and to obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. So can we see how his service as our high priest provides a better hope through which we can now draw near to God? There's more to come. More is coming regarding the priesthood of Christ, but maybe we can now appreciate how the Levitical priesthood does not provide what man really needs, and that's access to God. There has been a change in the law. Indeed, it has been replaced with a new covenant. In Jesus, our hope in drawing near to God is so much better than it ever has been in the history of God's people. Now, in view of these things, why would the Hebrew Christians ever want to leave Jesus and return to that old law? A better question would be, why would people today want to use the old law to justify religious practices, as I mentioned a moment ago, as many do when they turn to the Old Testament, as I said, to establish authority for such things as instrumental music, things like having a separate priesthood or clergy, like burning incense. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said he is the only way to God. Now my question here is, are you willing to come to the Father through him? Paul writes in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, the old law. You have fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. He says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Let's us be sure to serve God through Christ only. Let's not be looking for authority in other places. Let's not look for authority for what we want to do in the old law. It's been annulled. It's been abolished. Because everything is so much better under the priesthood of Christ. It may be that you'd like to discuss this lesson with me or any other lessons that you've heard on this radio program. If so, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go back to the church's website, that's churchateastside.com, and listen to this radio program again or any other in the past that you may want to refresh your memory about. You can join us this morning at Eastside Church of Christ. We're out on Madison Street across from Hillcrest Memorial Funeral Home and the cemetery there. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. where we're studying the Gospel of John. And then we'll have preaching at 10 a.m. and we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship service. And we also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. where we're in the book of Judges right now. We would love to have you visit with us. We wouldn't turn anyone away that wanted to come and worship God and study from God's Word. Again, if you'd like to discuss anything or question anything that I've said here, feel free to contact me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Again, thank you for being with me.